Hello and welcome to the latest horticulture-focused edition of the HDB podcast. In this podcast, our experts at the heart of the Plum Demonstration Centre project discussed its previous progress and its future plans going forward. We hope you find it useful.
Hello everyone, welcome to listeners of this podcast, where we'll be discussing progress in the development of the Plum Demonstration Centre at NIAVMR in Kent. I'm Scott Raffle. I'm a knowledge exchange manager at the AHDB. And with me this morning are three of the key scientists at NIAVMR who manage the Plum Demonstration Centre on a daily basis. So we have Dr. Julian Lecour, who's a senior research leader, Karen Everett, who's the field trials technician, and Dr. Michelle Fountain, the deputy head of pest and pathogen ecology. So for those listeners who are not acquainted with the work at the centre, I'll provide you with a bit of background. The centre was set up at NIAVMR as partial fulfilment of a four-year Innovate UK funded project, which set out to increase the profitability of UK plum production. So that project involved NIAVMR, the Fruit Advisory Services team, or FAST for short, and a number of key industry partners. The results of the work led to the provision of a plum best practice guide, and that currently resides on the NIAVMR website. And the plum orchard that was planted by NIAVMR has been set up to demonstrate some of the important findings from the project. We at AHDB are part funders of the new Plum Demonstration Centre. One of my roles is to coordinate an industry steering group, which dictates the type of work we do at the centre every season. So essentially, it's been set up to demonstrate best practice in plum production. And this includes comparisons of different training systems, different rootstocks, assessments of new varieties, protected cropping and novel forms of weed control and other mechanical aids. So I'd like to chat to all of you this morning about some of the current work and the recent results to give our listeners a bit of flavour of the work that's going on at the centre. And where better to start than mechanical weed control? And this is one of the key demonstrations that we're doing at the centre. Given that tree fruit growers have got an ever diminishing number of herbicides available for them for weed control, it seems like a good opportunity to demonstrate some alternative mechanised aids. Julian leads our research programme for vineyard growers, and you're translating some of the weed control work you've been doing there to the Plum Centre, is that right?
Yeah, that's correct, Scott. Basically, we received 3 years ago now some funding from the EU, a project called IWM PRAISE, to look at alternatives to herbicides for vineyards and orchards. But the primary focus was vineyards. We've been demonstrating now for 3 years mechanical weeders at the vineyard. The research vineyard we've got at East Malling haven't used herbicides at all for 3 years and successfully. So we are now looking at translating that into the Plum Demonstration Center, and especially to see how we can optimize mechanical weeding control or weeding technologies for the orchards, making sure first we do not only control weeds, but we do not disturb the trees too much, because that's something that concerns us a bit. The mode of action of these cultivators is to disturb the roots of the weeds, but by doing so, we are as well disturbing the roots of the trees, and we'll be measuring the impact of these management practices on yield, on quality, we have as well a view, or we are looking at the impact it has or it can have on some beneficial insects, and Michelle Fontaine is going to be leading on that.
Okay, and under normal conditions, we would have been having open events at the Plum Demonstration Centre this year, where we would have been able to showcase some of these machines working, but obviously that's not possible at the moment. But we hope, Julian, perhaps to have some videos on our website for the Plum Demonstration Centre at some point this year.
Yes, we are in close contact with the manufacturers of these equipment, and they all responded positively. They are adamant editing some videos, and they are going to send it to us shortly. And obviously, the COVID has disturbed them as well, and we hope that we are going to be able to share these videos on the website in the next weeks or so.
And I think I need to emphasize the point that this is a demonstration center, and we are trying to demonstrate a whole range of things for other orchard crops, not just plums as well. So I think growers of apples and pears will also be interested to view those videos. Let's just move on now to another topic that's going on at the center, and that is rootstocks and training systems. And Karen Everett, who's with us this morning also, who's been doing a lot of the recording work on and running of these trials. Karen, tell us a little bit about what you're doing with in terms of looking at different rootstocks for plums and training systems. What have you got at the centre at the moment that growers will be able to look at?
Well, we have rootstocks and four different training systems, all using Victoria. And so we're having a look at the effect of the rootstock or the training system on such things as vigour, fruit size and quality, and productivity. And that is ongoing. So we will be carrying on doing testing this year. So we look at things that like bricks, fruit size and weight, and fruit firmness.
Okay. And which different rootstocks have you got? I know that growers will be interested to learn which ones you're comparing. Have you got a few?
Yeah, in this trial we used VVA, Pixie, St Julien and Wabbit, and in the new demo centre we have planted a new row of Victorias where we've included VVA, Wageningen, Wabbit and St Julien A.
And what about the different training systems? Can you maybe just outline some of the different training systems that are on show at the centre?
Yes, we used super spindle, oblique, narrow tabletop and narrow A-frame. I think we were very pleased with a super spindle, and we will be using this throughout the plot as our favoured training system, because we had quite good results with those and they're quite easy to prune. The one that was caused the most problems for pruning was narrow A-frame, and we probably wouldn't recommend that ongoing.
Okay, so the interesting thing for growers will be these combinations, and maybe I can draw Julian back in on this, that growers will be interested to know perhaps what the ideal rootstock training system combination might be and how that might convert into financial or gross margins. Is there any information from 2019 that stands out?
Yes, yeah, sure. So clearly, the results in terms of yield did depend on the training system and the rootstock. When two rootstocks were conferring a better yield, it was VVA1 and Wavit. When grafted on VVA1, the oblique system, and the super spindle were the best performing ones. On Wavit, the narrow tabletop and super spindle were the best performing training systems. As Karen was saying previously, super spindle is to us a better training system, as it's easier to maintain, easier to prune, easier to harvest as well. And the training system as well is less expensive to be put on. These results are consistent with the last 3 years of experiments. And it did result in a dramatic change in terms of growth margins for plum growers. So historically, we have estimated the financial yield of a plot, of a plum plot, sorry, by of £250 per hectare and per year, to be compared with an estimate £6,000 for cherries and £2,000 for gala orchards, again per hectare and per year. The super spindle on BVA1 have last year produced a higher margin than an average cherry crop, which is just a fantastic result.
Great. Okay, so growers will be interested to hear that. And I think I should also stress to listeners that this work is ongoing. So we will be continuing to record the yield data from these different systems over the coming 2 years and onwards. And we will update that information on a year-by-year basis. So thanks for filling us in on that. Now, in addition to finances, of course, growers will be interested in pest and disease control. Michelle, who's our resident entomologist on this podcast, has done quite a lot of work in recent years on apples and pears, looking at enhancing orchard ecology to speed up the influx of beneficial insects to orchards so that we can gain earlier control of pest and disease in the lifetime of the plantation. Michelle, you're doing a little bit of demonstration of this concept at the Plum Centre. How is that working?
Oh, thanks, Scott. So there's two main things that we're trying to do in the Plum demonstration orchard. The first is to boost the pollinators that visit the flowers during blossom, and that's so that hopefully we can get better quality fruit and a more reliable pollination year on year. And then the second thing is to try and increase the numbers and diversity of natural enemies that are actually in the orchard trees themselves. So we've been doing this firstly for the pollinators. We've sown the alleyways with wildflower strips, and we'll continue to do that as the plantings change in the actual orchard itself. And that work came from some previous work done on apple. And actually, when we think about it, plum trees, they only flower for 2 to 3 weeks, and then there's very little floral resource left in the orchard to sustain those different pollinators through the year. So by providing pollen and nectar for longer periods of time, we might be able to increase numbers into the following year. And actually, we did a survey in the orchard in the spring during plum pollination, and about a third of the insects that visit the flowers are honeybees, and then the rest of the insects are actually wild insects, so things like bumblebees, hoverflies and solitary bees made up the majority of those insect pollinators. So it'll be interesting to see how that shifts from year to year with the intervention that we've put in for the pollinators. But I have to stress here as well that those alleyways are not just providing resource for pollinating insects, but also for natural enemies as well, because they provide alternative food such as aphids for things like hoverflies, but also vegetation structure, which is really important for spiders, which then actually move into the trees themselves, as has been shown in other common crops like apples and pears. But on top of this, what we've also done is we've put a replicated trial into the demonstration orchard where we've provisioned individual trees or blocks of trees with they're called earwig refuges, and they're essentially small wooden blocks with holes drilled into them. But they don't just give a place for earwigs to hide during the daytime, but things like spiders, ladybirds and lacewings have also been observed to utilise these earwig refuges. And what it means is that you're actually putting the predators where you need them into the canopy of the trees. And then what we'll do is we'll go out later this summer and do some nighttime assessments to look at how many earwigs are in the trees with and without the refuges. And at the same time, we're also monitoring the numbers of aphids and of moth larvae, but also, of course, spotted wing Drosophila in the orchards.
Growers have already utilised these earwig refuges with some success, I think, haven't they?
Yes, that's right. So we've shown in extensive trials through Innovate UK funding that actually where you can boost the numbers of earwigs with these refuges in apple trees, you get fewer codling moth and woolly apple aphid.
Okay, and this again, this is what will be ongoing, won't it, for the next few seasons? Because I think it's important not just to look at one season in isolation.
That's right. So obviously, well, we're all aware of the strange weather at the moment. So because you have climatic differences between years, and that can have long term impacts on insect populations. So it's really important when you do these studies, not just to take a year as a snapshot, because you're looking for long term trends over many years.
OK, and a lot of the results from this will be posted on our webpage, which I'll mention a little bit later. Thanks, Michelle, for filling us in. In addition to pest and disease, we're also looking at new varieties. I should say at the conclusion of the Innovate UK project, which finished last year, three commercial growers in Kent have planted demonstration orchards with new varieties. Tom Hume of AC Hume & Son has planted an orchard with new early varieties, and Charles Highwood at Highwood of Pluckley has planted late fruiting varieties. And David Butler at GH Dean has planted an orchard with varieties which have exceptional fruit quality and yield potential, but may be difficult to grow. And all three of those orchards will be available for viewing over the next 2 to 3 seasons as they start to mature. But in addition, at the Plum Centre, Plum Demonstration Centre, we have planted a whole range of new varieties to spread the season. Karen, can you tell us a bit about those varieties that have gone in, and when were they planted?
They were planted last winter. We've got 23 different varieties, and as you say, we're looking at a whole range of early to late fruiting trees so that we can really extend the UK plum season. And obviously, over the coming years, we'll be monitoring the trees and again looking at things like vigour, fruiting, productivity and disease susceptibility. And within those 23 varieties, we have two that have been bred at East Malling. So we're very interested to see what results we can gain from those. One variety in particular, which is called P738 at the moment, has given very early fruiting last year. They fruited the first week in July, and we were able to display them at Fruit Focus, and they went down very well with the public.
We showcased them at the Fruit Focus, our AHDB Fruit Focus stand last year, and yes, they were very, very well received. They were fantastic size, and the flavour was amazing. Quite Victoria-like, wouldn't you say?
I prefer them to Victoria myself, but yes, they're looking very promising at the moment. So we're hoping they're going to do well.
Okay. And I think it's important to point out that those two selections, P738 and the other one is P619, they have been both planted at an earlier stage in the centre. So they are in full cropping now, whereas these 23 new varieties that have gone in will obviously take a little bit of time before we've got significant quantities of fruit to look at. So we'll hope to keep growers posted on those as they develop. Now, there are some other things going on at the Plum Demonstration Centre, which I think we ought to make mention of. There is an area of the centre which is covered with Spanish-type tunnels, polythene portable tunnels, where we'll be able to compare outdoor cropping versus protected cropping. At what stage is that at, Karen?
Yes, at the moment we've got 4 tunnels. So we have 2 covered and 2 uncovered, and the covers went on, I believe, March. So again, we will be looking to see if we can see any differences.
Okay, and so I suppose those will be highlighted over the next 2 to 3 years again as the trees mature and we have higher yields from them. A couple of other things that just wanted to raise at the centre. I believe there are plans to do some comparisons of fertigation regimes. Is that right?
Yes, we've got a trial in at the moment where we're looking at 2 different fertigation regimes. 10 irrigation regimes. So at the moment we're comparing a grower standard fertigation program with what we might call a water deficit program, where we look at the soil water matrix potential before we actually irrigate. So that's only just started. So again, it'll be a while before we get results.
Okay, I think it's important to make the point at this stage that AHDB has funded a wide range of projects at NIABMR through a plant physiologist, Dr. Mark Els, where we've identified water saving techniques in fruit production and improved water use efficiency. And we've similarly done fertigation projects to demonstrate improved use of nutrients and fertilizers. And so again, this is more demonstration of that in a best practice situation. So we'll look forward to getting the results of that over the next few seasons. Now, one thing that a lot of apple, pear, plum and cherry growers use nowadays is organic mulches. Are there any plans to use organic mulches at the centre, Karen?
Yes, obviously previous work by AHDB and EMR have shown, you know, that organic mulches do have a positive impact on growing. So we are going to do a demonstration this year of just a PASS 100 organic mulch. Hopefully that will be going on this week. Sadly, we would have hoped for some nice rain so that it would go onto some nice wet compost, but we can't wait any longer. Yeah. And again, we'll be looking to see what the effects are.
Yeah, we can control quite a lot of things at the Plum Demonstration Centre, but unfortunately rain is not one of them. I'm sure growers will have their own frustrations over that at the moment. Well, I think we've enlightened our listeners on quite a range of topics. I hope we've given you out there a flavour for the work programme that's going on at the Plum Demonstration Centre. We also hope that it won't be too long before you'll be able to come along and see a lot of this work firsthand. But for the time being, we're making use of podcasts on our website. Do remember that you can find out all the information that we've talked about in more detail at the Plum Demonstration Centre website, which is on the AHDB website. For those of you that don't have a current link to it, if you just search on a search engine for the AHDB Plum Demonstration Centre, you will find all of the information there. I should also urge all plum growers out there to view the Plum Best Practice Guide, which is currently on the NIAB EMR website. You will find a link from the Plum Demonstration Centre to that website. And do look at that, because there is a vast amount of information on that Plum Best Practice Guide, much of which was delivered from the Innovate UK project that we spoke about a little bit earlier. So please do look at that.
Thank you for listening. To find out more about our Plum Demonstration Centre project, visit hdb.org.uk/the-plum-demonstration-centre. To access more horticulture-related podcasts, as well as various cross-sector projects, visit hdb.org.uk/podcast. Goodbye. Stay safe.